Anyone? Chrissy?
I will.
Okay.
Father God, we just thank you for this gorgeous day, Lord, and just for this change, a little bit of change in temperature. Father, we just thank you for who you are and what you teach us in your word. Lord, I thank you that we have been redeemed, that you call us by name, that we are adopted, Father God, Lord, by you, and that we are loved, forgiven. And Lord, I just pray that we would live in that. Help us to open our ears right now to the truth of your word and just plant it deeply in our hearts. Thank you for everyone here, Lord, and even those who aren't. And Lord, just again, thank you for this gorgeous day. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Chrissy. So any lingering things from last week with Elohim? Because we get to see Elohim all through this one. He's just so amazing. Anybody? I definitely lingered in it this week so much. Just even the beauty of the sunset and the colors that you just cannot, even when you take a picture with your child in the seat next to you going, stop, please stop, put down your phone. It's just terrible. And I'm like, no, I can do this, you know, and it's just terrible. I'm embarrassed I just admitted that. But you can't get the colors. Like, it just doesn't happen. No, I turned the corner the other morning, and this beautiful park at the end of our street has a pond, you know, a little pond, and the sun was coming up, and it was reflecting off of the pond, and it was just the splits, because the entire sky was red, because the sun was coming up, and in the time that it took me to go, I really would like to capture that, this sky had already stopped that beautiful red, because it's that quick. And so, you know, it's like made that even inform my day. This beautiful, because, you know, they say red at night, sailors delight, red in the morning, sailors take warning, because there's going to be a storm more likely because it's red because of the clouds. And it was that afternoon, was that big weird storm that blew in. And I just sat there and thought, what beauty preceding the storm and how much that informs my own personal day. To be able to go, the light is there, the beauty is there, the storms come, the storms go. And we learned that with Elohim, the seasons, that one has just hit me. I just so deeply. And then the beautiful psalm that we read that said, dwell in the shadow of the Most High. And so as we enter in redeemed, we get to dwell even more. Because I even on my takeaway, I was like, I think I need to dwell. What do I need to dwell on? So this week, this week we'll do redeemed. Hello, my name is redeemed. And then next week we'll look at the name of God that we just, you know, his names inform everything. It's a beautiful way that Yahweh happens to inform redeemed. Because that's actually where the first person to say Yahweh was Moses. And the Lord God himself speaks the name Yahweh. Tell them I am sent you. Which isn't normally the case. Usually it's a person saying his name. Okay. All right. So redeemed. And this word redeemed means set free or reconciled. Okay. The word redeemed means to buy out. The term was used specifically in reference to the purchase of a slave's freedom. The application of this term to Christ's death on the cross is quite telling. If we are redeemed, then our prior condition was one of slavery, and God has purchased our freedom, and we are no longer in bondage to sin or anything that enslaves us, no longer slaves to our sin or any sin that has been done to us. Okay? Because I don't know if we really talk about that enough. That because sometimes when you say, oh, your sin, I hear it as like, yes, I'm doing wrong. But the truth is, it's all your sin, which means we live with your people and we live with the people that are around us. My people live in my wake, and my wake has a lot of good things and bad things, you know, and there's a lot of sin that has probably been done to you. Okay. And this redemption covers all sin. What we do, what we don't realize we do, and what's been done to us. It's all of it. And I have found the Lord was sweet to tenderly open my eyes to that one day when we were living, because we just are bathing in just some bad sin that was done to us. And I love putting that in the context of it has been handled. And it doesn't mean that the ripples, I've tried to tell one of the people next to me, it's like when you ring a bell and you ring the bell and the bell stops ringing. When you stop ringing the bell, you've stopped, all right? But the reverberations still go, okay? And so you can still feel the consequences of that, even if it's finished, okay? It's the same, another illustration is when a pebble is thrown into water. It's done. It's thrown and it's done, but the ripples still happen. And so a lot of us have that in our lives, and it's okay to call it out, and it's okay to allow it to be in the realm of redeemed, because he didn't do halfway, because God does nothing halfway, nothing. It's all the way, and it all obeys him. It is all finished, and it's all redeemed. He did it, okay? All right, so this is going to be a hard lesson to get through because there's so much, okay? So we're going to do our best because I really loved the Colossians. All of it. I was like, oh my gosh, there's not enough room. And then I'm like, why so much? And I can blame myself. The benefits of redemption include, so here you go. And these are the verses that go with it. The benefits of redemption include eternal life, okay? Which isn't just the life that's to come, our eternal life to come, because sometimes we can think, oh, eternal life is what's happening. It's today. You have eternal life today. He prayed, may it be on earth as it is in heaven. It's eternal life in heaven, baby. It's eternal life. Like there's life eternal around us. Dare I accept it and live it? It's not going to change whether the eternal life is there, because it's there. How much I live in it is how much freedom I get to enjoy and what I get to receive. And it's not a you should. It's sort of like it's here for you. You are a human being. I understand you. I see you. I meet you where you are. Please receive that I love you, period. You know? I had to tell one of my other kids the other night. He's like, I think I'm just a liability to you. I was like, a liability? Like, how would you even, who said, like, who would you even hear that? I'm sitting here going, I can tell you without a doubt, honestly, I have never, not one day, not one second, have I thought of you and put liability next to it? What the heck? And then I'm like, I think we do that in front of the Lord. I'm a liability to you. I'm the one that can't be fixed. I'm the one, you know. And it's like, no, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Steadfast love. Forgive myself. Yeah, we're never going to, we're gonna stop. Benefits of redemption include eternal life, forgiveness of sins, righteousness, freedom from the law's curse, adoption into God's family, deliverance from sin's bondage, which is how we know that it speaks into the sin that has been done to us, all right? It's not just sin's bondage, but I'm telling you, bondage comes with hurt, okay? And it's deliverance, peace with God. Which Jesus said, we talked about this last week, that when he speaks, it happens. And every time Jesus came to the room after the resurrection, he said, peace be with you. My peace be with you, which means it's done. He speaks it, it is, which is what we saw in Genesis 1. He would say it and it is done. So peace with God and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. To be redeemed then is to be forgiven, holy, justified, free, adopted, and reconciled. Redeemed is freedom, the freedom for which Christ has set us free. God's freedom for the nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt is a story within the greater story. Our freedom from the slavery of sin. We are redeemed, ransomed, reconciled, rescued by, in, and through Christ, whose authority takes all death and renders it powerless. From Titus 3, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Okay, even in that sentence, put Elohim in there. Because right here, you see God the Father and you see God the Son together with the Spirit of Christ and the Lord who raised us from the dead. He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life today. This eternal life speaks into yesterday's occurrences, today's happenings, and tomorrow's worries, shining its bright light of hope into every essence of our being. Dare we walk in, see typo, walk in and allow such light to inform our days and our identity? It shines for us to see with clarity as we receive. Okay? Yeah, I needed to linger in that for a while. Okay, here are a couple of little thought-provoking questions. Is there a time or experience in your life where you have or someone you love experienced God's redemption or rescue? We'd love to hear it. And you guys online too, if there's something. Because of course I'll fill in the blank. Unless somebody wants to. Okay.
So God rescued me from ruining my relationship with my girl, my oldest one specifically, just because of my anger and control. And it got so bad, I was like, I can't do this anymore. And so that's when I went to Region first time and learned just new ways. And he has so many verses on dealing with anger, and it's not the better way. Controlling other people is not the better way.
Wow.
And so I feel like learning his truths saved my relationship with Madison. And then, because I'm so controlling, I sit back into my way and I had to go through it again. But I do feel like that.
Okay, I love that you said that. First of all, your heart was tender enough to recognize that. That's so beautiful, which
it was,
I know.
Really bad.
Yeah, but I know that you
pretty
said,
obvious.
But you always were coming to the Lord going, what, you know, just open, please show me, please show me. And I love that you slipped back in, because in Colossians, at the end of that passage, it says, if you set your mind on the hope, and it was sort of like the salvation never changes. What comes and goes is where our perspective is, like where our eyes are, because it's so easy to slip into it because it's something that we're accustomed to, you know? And so, gosh, that's beautiful. It's just so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That's really beautiful. Thank you. Anybody else?
Fine.
Thanks, Jen.
And mine's so different than yours, Tracy. So when my dad died, I mean, I was there with him holding his hand, and I just really felt him being rescued from pain and that he was in. And it was beautiful. And there was this, we had hired he was in a nursing home, but we hired round the clock care, and it was just this, you know, shift change of people. But this girl had just come in, and she was from like some African country, and kind of had some of that mentality of spirituality. And she said, I want to open the window and let a soul go. And it was just, and the person that had been there an hour before, all she was there was to get a paycheck. It was such a blessing that, I don't know, it just felt like redemption and rescue from his bodily bondage and dementia.
That is so beautiful. Wow. I love that, because redemption is it's so much. It really goes a long way.
It also goes back to the provider. Like Elohim provided, like he provided that nurse. Mm-hmm. You know, like he knew. And so
and my mom didn't have the whatever to be there when he died. Mm-hmm. And so somebody was there with me. Mm-hmm.
And
but she
got,
loved sharing my space too.
Right,
when
God provided that mm-hmm. for her, right? Had it been, he didn't let it be the nurse prior. Mm-hmm. He provided the nurse that you needed
yeah.
to do that.
And some of that stuff you can't make up.
No.
And it's sort of like we don't have to explain it.
No.
We can just lean into the beauty of it. And that is so beautiful. That's a really special time. I can't believe you got to be there. That's super cool. Hard and cool.
Thank you, Maida.
That's just so amazing. Mm-hmm. That's really beautiful. Anybody else? our next question, I think it's really tender. I feel like this stuff is tender, okay? And this one is, or is there a time you needed redemption and rescue but might have felt overlooked, unseen? I added unknown, unheard, irrelevant, or maybe even forgotten.
Yeah.
Okay. Let
me say this all day.
Gosh. Yeah, I didn't have the problem saying it. I was like this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Anybody care to apply?
Our adoption of our two sons. So that was years of infertility and watching everyone else have babies and get pregnant, and then you just feel looked over. God for a baby, he doesn't give you one, you try the medicine, it didn't work. I mean, you do all that you can do in your own human power, mm-hmm. but the reality is you can't make it happen.
Yeah.
You have no control of that. Okay. And you just sit there and wait, and you're like waiting and waiting and waiting, and that's, you're powerless, and it's very hard to be in. Very vulnerable to feel like you're just sitting duck. I mean, you know, and trusting that he has something for you when you're not getting it. Why aren't you giving it?
Okay, so.
But then he did. I mean, right. We had to walk through the adoption journey and the beautiful stories, the beautiful, messy, hard stories of those, but it's his provision and the way that he provided. So he did answer and he does answer. But the sitting when you feel like he doesn't care, it's hard to sit in that because I throw a fit like a little child. I turn to my childlessness or childish sinful ways, I guess. Like, I mean, why don't you give me what I want? I mean, I'm just, that's just reality.
Yeah. And that pretty much says it all.
I mean,
something that you said in there, I think that is so beautiful is that you feel like this is the case because you feel like it. I'm unlooked or unheard and unseen and all those kinds of things. And it's the same with our redemption in our holiness also, because we can even sit in there going, this doesn't feel like this. And,
right.
But to rest in the reality that it doesn't matter how we feel,
right.
And to rest in the reality that redemption is what it is, period. And even to go, you can sit here now and go, I have the adoption and it was answered. But even if you had the adoption, there would be answered, which is the hardest because it doesn't look like an answer because the answer isn't the outcome. Right. The answer is him.
I think that's the hardest part. I read something today and it was really good just on resilience. And I look for the fruit. I'm ready to see the fruit.
Yeah.
But the reality is I'm supposed to be looking for the fruit in the middle. And I'm like,
even if you can't see it, because we know Elohim did seasons.
Yeah.
And we're about to be able to look outside and the trees are going to be absolutely barren and look dead.
So it's for me, I have to choose to find something grateful if every minute, like something.
Gratitude is key.
It is my mind. And so so I am redeemed. I am rescued. I am. Even if I can't see it, feel it, and that's hard for me, like to be invisible.
Who is it? Is it easy for anybody?
Yeah.
That's why these stories help so much.
Yes.
It really resonated with me reading through a lot of this.
Which is stuff you know.
Samaritan, right. You know it, but
we forget it.
He reminded me so beautifully this week, like powerfully. I was like, wow, like, you know, seeing him lead, seeing him next, because we can see in the story, that's why he uses stories to help us.
It's so, and real people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I read the other day too, Jacob. Jacob went, and what did he see? He saw Rachel. Ooh, I want her. Did he get her? Not right then. And he served faithfully for 7 years, yeah. And then he's like, okay, I'm ready. And he got Leah. I mean,
well,
he still served again faithfully. Like, my heart would have been like, seriously?
Well, and what's cool, I love it. Okay, so Jacob is so fun because we get to see Jacob's well in the Samaritan stories, a woman at the well. And those years that he had to wait, the verb term, the term that's used for love, and that is the same term that is used for love in Hebrews 12, where it says he looked with love upon, you know, when he put his hands out on the cross, that he looked on us with love, which is what propelled him to be able to do that. And Jacob said it seemed like, you know, no time, because his love was so great. And so put yourself in that picture, because that's how Christ looked at you when he bared his back. Happily. Knowing full well what was coming. Yeah. So it's just so good, okay? Because it's significant, and it's important to think about that in our own lives, as well as the people that are next to us, because somebody else is, everyone in this room is like, so is the person in the car next to you, okay? So is the person standing behind you at the grocery store. So is the mother who's sitting on the sideline with her kid playing quarterback, or not, or sitting on the bench. Either one comes with its own heartache. And so it's like, dare we be able to linger in and receive this redemption and love for the Imago Dei in the full context of who it is that has declared it. And that's where, again, Elohim is all in this. It can't, I mean, we see the molecules obeying him because he tells them to. It's just it's significant and worth lingering in. Okay, so we're going to move on, and we're going to go through this beautiful passage in Exodus, which even as I was reading it, I was like, go back then. Oh, go back to the next chapter, you know, and I was like, because it's just, it's a story that we've heard, that may we hear it afresh and anew today. So we ask that, Father, today. I have the NIV, and if you don't mind, I'm just going to read it, because I want to read it fast so that we can get to the next passages, which are equally as beautiful. And I'm sorry if it's a floodgate, but I hope that you could linger in it and pull out things, even though it's a lot of information. So Exodus 14, 10 through 31, to set the stage. This is when Moses is actually, it's after all of the plagues. The nation of Israel is coming out of slavery of Egypt at this point, because the Lord has heard their cry. And in an odd way, odd to us, he's had all these plagues come in for the Pharaoh to set his people free. And yet the Pharaoh says, the Lord hardened his heart, which that has a whole nother interesting nuances to it. But we pick up the story as the Israelites have left. The Lord did not lead them straight. He led them around to be able to be standing at the Red Sea. And the reason why he led them around is because he knew that if he led them straight, they would be able to see the Pharaoh and the Egyptians coming after them. And he knew, he says in 13, I'm not doing this because I don't want the fear to make them go, to entice them to go back. Okay. So again, tender mercies. He knows. And it's not like, well, you're afraid. Can you not believe everything that just happened, all these plagues and how I've delivered you? It's the tender mercies that meet them where they are in this gentle, yet, like, I don't think in history outside of creation, there's much more powerful than what's going to happen here, you know? And so it's tender and it's enormously powerful at the same time. Because he has tender mercies for you and me that are accompanied by life-altering power, okay? So we're going to start in 14 and we're going to go 10 through 31. 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them, okay? Because by this time they're standing at the Red Sea and they can now see them, all right? They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Which is a bit sarcastic. What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. Please, as you're reading this, fill in the blank with Egypt as the ways of the world. It's the same thing, okay? We're getting to see a picture of what he says he takes care of us within, and we're getting to see it up close, personal, live, for him to be able to take over every element, every circumstance, every power, earthly power, every dominion is being taken on here. So fill in the blank for what our Egypt is, which is the story behind this story, and that is the ways of this world and sin, okay? Because it's like, I could go that, what in the world? It feels so much better when I'm in control, you know? And so Moses answered the people, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Because he had already said, go. Okay. And he said, tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they will know, so they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of the, in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. What in the world? Do you want to know what hemming in looks like? It looks like that, okay? And he says, I hem you in. The Lord says that. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all the Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let's get away from these Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt because they know. When Jesus was walking the earth and the demons came up to him and said, what are you doing? The time is not yet. They know. That gives me chills. I don't know about y'all, but they know. All right. Because his name precedes him. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived, which seems harsh, okay? But please put into context again what he's done enormously with sin. He has done the same thing. It is covered. It is taken care of. It is obliterated. It is to be seen no more, because when he looks at you, he isn't seeing it. Because your Savior's blood cries out every single day and claims you through what he did, okay? And it's powerful. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Upon prayerful reading and pausing to think and notice, which apparently I continue to do, sorry about that, take a few moments to jot down your observations, simple, complex. Always begin with the who, what, when, where, and why, just because it's a helpful place to start. And just start to make observations. And so we'll go through each passage. And Exodus 14, where did you go with the context? Like, what did you notice about the context? Anything?
Well, I noticed something that I'd never noticed before.
I love it.
Which was all through the night, the cloud brought darkness. I just had skipped it. Like, I just had never, that all night long it was like this. It wasn't like, I kind of remember reading it and it just happened. Like, the wall of water came and the Israelites went through, but it was like all night long. I was like, that's a long time to have these people chasing you. And
Yes, and having to walk, because I noticed this time that it was like he raised his hand and they were told to go before the waters had moved.
Uh-huh. So they're like walking through the water hoping that it.
Well, know. It's just so bizarre.
Yeah.
And then the thought of how terrifying, whatever wind that was, that little storm that blew through the other day, did it hit y'all? It was crazy. Like the wind was significant. That's like compared to what was occurring here. Mm-hmm. I can't fathom walking in that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's everything counter to what you know to be true. Mm-hmm. How in the world was the ground dry?
Yeah.
Okay, so everybody went through. That's another thing.
Everyone.
Think about that. No one said, not. So he covered everyone of the Israelites.
Everyone. Every one of them. Which we know he knows each one by name. What else?
I just think about like toddlers. I'm like, Mom, I want to get out. Like, they're not going to be like,
to what
kids
knowing
by me.
I was like, I would be the toddler going, no. Like, please, no. And are you crazy?
Like, really? Like, we have nothing we have to do.
Okay. And just so you know, the ground had been laid before. Okay, because he just didn't set them in front of that going skiddly-daddly. They had seen the enormity of his presence, the enormity of his promise, the enormity of his power, even in the midst of their doubt. And Moses particularly had been shown that from the minute that he stood in front of a bush, burning bush that wasn't being consumed. And his doubt was never, he doubted, he was afraid. He was never turned away. He was gifted in purpose to be able to do this. And he had action after action after action of trust for him to be even able to have the ability to go, oh, this has nothing to do with me. This has nothing to do with my power. This has everything to do with you. And he intimately knew what that was before even having had the Lord's presence pass before him. Okay, so he could stretch out his arms. The Lord could have done it without that. Why did he do it? I don't know. It's for us. There was something in that that even allowed the people to walk. Okay, and he compelled them in his power and strength. Okay, when I feel the need to do something in order to be okay, that's my power and my strength. When I'm judging whether or not I'm okay, or if I've done enough, or if I buy into the maybes or the ifs, the what ifs, or the I shoulds or the I coulds, or if I'm feeling majorly guilt because I haven't done enough, that's me. That's my power. And we don't see the Israelites' power at play in this at all. Nothing. Okay? Nothing. Moses is simply stretching his hands. Moses is obeying. The people are going because the Lord had had enough going, why are you crying out? Go. And they go. And they don't know, but they go. Because they know who. Help me to go today. Even though I don't know. But I know who. And that who is enough. Okay. I don't know what it is that you've got or who it is in your world that's hurting, but you can go and you can be the one whose arms are out when somebody else can't hold them up. And I don't know how, but I know who, and this is who, the one who allows you to walk through walls of water. And walls of water feel like they're coming in. Because of course they do. But not when they're obeying him. And he hems you in before, behind, above, below. And we get to see it through this story. What it actually looks like. Okay? Billy.
Okay, you know how you said that he prepared it beforehand? You'll probably already know this, but they discovered a few years ago a place in the river where the ground about the width of what they think, you know, that many people would take it's hard ground. The rest of the river is soft ground.
Are you talking about the Jordan River, or are you talking about the Red Sea?
The Red Sea.
Okay, so it was the sea, because it's massive. Go home today and look at a picture of the Red Sea.
But they found like a hard place where people could use a pass.
Wow.
You know, and they found the ancient, embedded within it, they found some ancient wheels. Like,
no way. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing.
And it's otherwise soft, like you would, you know,
unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. If we go back to Elohim, you would go, of course.
Of course, I laid this hard area.
Yeah, because I knew what was going to happen. Okay, and you would go, oh, that's kind of like a little out there. Let me just say that these people were in bondage for 400 years. They were in slavery for 400 years. And when you go back to Genesis 15, you will see that the Lord called that out before that happened. Because when he was telling Abraham, when he was giving Abraham his promise, saying, I'm going to look up at the stars, that's the amount of people. Consider the vastness of the sands of the shores, and that's the vastness. And while he was doing that, as he was making his covenant with Abraham, he said to him in 15, it says, as the sun was setting, Abram at that point, fell into a deep sleep, and a thick, dreadful darkness came over him because the Lord was making the covenant for both of them. He didn't. Abram didn't make the covenant. The Lord took both sides of that covenant, which we know because Elohim did that, because of course Elohim is Jesus, who is the side of that covenant that is the humanity. And then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. This is Genesis 14:15. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions, which when they left, the Egyptians gave them everything. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at good old age. Okay? It's amazing. All right.
Okay, Kate.
Yep.
To come like from a completely other side of this, kind of the obvious, but that we don't talk. I mean, the Egyptians were wiped out. I'm like, what if I was one of those Egyptians that just happened to be in the army? Did God not love him? You know, it's so hard.
Okay.
I wrestled like the whole time. I know what you were going with the lesson, and all I can think about is the Egyptians being wiped out,
which is so beautiful. Okay, so lean into that. The Lord is moving your heart towards the Egyptians, okay? And ask him and tell him, I feel very uncomfortable with this.
Yeah.
Because they were completely obliterated. And that happens often in the Old Testament, okay? And here comes this part of trust and the part of the mystery,
right,
that we can't answer, that is the same as what Carrie was talking about in that waiting period, or when you feel like you're not answered, okay? Because the truth is, we know that the Imago Dei matters a lot to the Lord, okay? His breath is in each human being,
right?
Okay? I also know that left to my own understanding, I'm in trouble, okay? Because my understanding defines justice a certain way, all right? I'm very, 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 very grateful that the Lord's justice is not mine. I'd be in trouble, and I would never be satisfied. And so in this mystery, and this is what Solomon talks about in Ecclesiastes, you want to, man, explain God. And you can try your entire existence on this planet. You will never get there. Bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. And you have a nation that is... has a pretty horrific death, okay? Everybody is going to die, all right? This is in his plan, in his ordination, knowing full well every one of those. We all are going to suffer. We all die. And in his plan, this is how it works out. And so the question is, I don't know, but I know you.
Right.
I don't know, but I trust you. Judy?
Well, I'm just thinking,
death is not the worst thing that happens to you. It's eternal death is terrible. So if some of those Egyptians had seen all these plagues, and some of them could have come to the Lord about it, but they're still serving in the army. So if the Egyptian guy says, you go, they go. But their eternal destiny might not have been hell after they met something. Yeah,
we cannot, true. But we in our world, because we grew up in an evangelical movement, all of us pretty much have been steeped in evangelism, okay? And which is a beautiful thing, because we get, I mean, the idea of being the Lord's hands and feet in any way, shape, or form is actually what you're created for, okay? And so, but sometimes in that vernacular, we get an idea of in, out, in, out, in, out. And that is not our business. It just isn't. It is absolutely our business to be the hands and feet, to care for and to love. And whoever gets to share the good news, what a gift. Why? Because you get to hear it too, for Pete's sake. And we need to hear it every day. I need to hear it every day. And so those questions, they're legit. And the only person who's going to get you to a place where you breathe through those is the one who is Elohim. And that's the one to go to and say, I don't know. This is rubbing me. Carrie, I don't know. This is rubbing me. Me today. I don't get this. This one's hard. I'm having a hard time breathing right this second. And to go, I don't know, and really hit it home. I don't know, but I know who. I don't know how, but I know who. And that is your business. And why would you have chosen me, for goodness sake? Why do you let me know you? I don't know. You sit with Job, with his friends, going, well, I can tell you why you're suffering. Bleep, 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 bleep. And Job's like, I don't get this. Like, I've done everything right. And we can see in chapter 4 where he's really being set free from his hope being his integrity, like his integrity being his hope. All right. And so I don't know, but I know that the Lord is for us. And I can't see it all. Why in the world does evil exist? I don't get it. Except that in the night, the light shines. Go ahead, Stacey.
Well, that's what, one of the things that I really picked up in this. Mm-hmm. He repeated a few times, it wasn't just Pharaoh, it's his chariot and his horsemen. And the goal was for God's glory before the chariot and the horsemen. What occurred to me is this was a battle bigger than that. This was a battle. It's almost like, as we are imaged or portrayed, and like that's our slavery, and that's our thing. It was also symbolic, Pharaoh, of Satan, the enemy, his demons, his army. Mm-hmm. It's almost like it was a bigger battle, a picture of a bigger battle, and especially because he says at the end, I will have the glory.
Yes.
And this was for my glory. So it's like this whole Exodus was a picture of something much bigger than.
Yeah, and it's not if, it is, because you can go to Revelation and it is a mirror of the Exodus, okay? So this is the story behind the story that uses the story, okay? It's sick, all right? It just gives me chills.
It does, it gives me
chills. Okay, and so, and there you can legitimately sit in the mystery and go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know, but I know. I know you, okay? And then you sit in the, I don't have to understand. Yeah?
He says, be still.
Yeah.
My friends.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's like, you don't have to figure it out.
He's like, this is my deal. Yeah. I got this.
You know. And do not fear, right?
Yes, and why not fear? Because you sit in awe and wonder of the enormity, even to the capacity of like, I really don't get this. And it's significant because we need it. And you will see in the future, if we were going, continue in Exodus and going into actually the coming into the promised land, when we fast forward and we see after they've been wandering for 40 years and they're going in, you'll see a person, Rahab, who's in the lineage of Christ. And do you want to know how she knows God? Because she'd heard of it. And all she could say is, I choose you. And there's an instance in here where they are saying that the Israelites' God is fighting for them. And they know.
You know, if we truly trust God's will, no matter through the bad parts of our lives and the good parts of our lives,
Julie.
It's just it's so much easier to go through all of that when you just have this fighting trust. Okay, I don't understand, but I know it's your plan and it's for your glory. And I want to be on your plan and not mine.
And that's where peace enters in, because it's settled and you didn't have to do it. He never asked us to do it.
You never have peace if you're trying to control the situation.
Yes, isn't that interesting?
So no matter what you're going through, you're trying to control everything. There's no peace in that.
So true.
Not for you, for the people around you. It's just disruptive.
Which is why it's so nice that justice is God. That I legit sit in that in safety going, thank you so much. If it was mine,
that was the temptation there would never be lie in the garden. Mm-hmm. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil, like you'll get it. And that's why it was a lie. Like,
and we take that bait constantly, but we don't have to, which is where Colossians takes us, because it says, keep your hope set. Okay, and it's not like you're in or out because your hope is set or not set, but you will always find the language that could invite that to the party, because it's for us to always be going, oh, that's in me, I choose you, I choose you. Oh yeah, I can't even do that. Please help me in my unbelief, help me in my lack of trust, because I don't help me find what I'm afraid of. I want, and please help me be brave enough to ask that question. And I can know he's safe, which I remember in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know, that was one thing I didn't love, is that Lucy said that Aslan wasn't safe. The Lord is safe. Yeah. He's the only safe thing. He's safer than myself. You know? Yeah.
For me, it's also still wrestling with sometimes the sadness.
Okay.
It's the rub.
You get the sadness. There's no rub. I'm so glad you brought that.
You know, because it's not like, oh, I trust the Lord. Oh, good. I feel great. No. Even though my son's not. I mean, you know, there's
no, the grief.
There's a still, it's a rub.
So, thank you. Because
I can't
if you hear
that.
It's all sunshine and unicorns, clearly that is not the case, because you have in this an enormous amount of death. It's not sunshine and unicorns. Yeah. The there's peace,
right?
That peace surpasses the understanding. Yeah. Because how is there peace in such significant grief?
Yeah, that's where I
I don't know,
because I want to be at peace.
Yeah,
but I struggle in my humanity and my emotions.
You
so
can.
Much.
You don't so have it. You lean into them, Carrie. Take them and live them. Mm-hmm. The grief is real.
Yeah,
the grief is real.
If you don't grieve, then you don't find your purpose.
And you don't know what hope is,
yeah.
Okay?
So
because we grieve differently, because we grieve with hope. Mm-hmm. And that's how it's hope that allows joy to be pervasive and exist always, even in the midst of very bad things, very sad things. And if we ignore and push aside the grief, we are ignoring a significant part of us as human beings. Maggie, because we were talking about how the hard stuff makes you interesting this morning. Mm-hmm. It's the part, because it does, because it gives you layers, because you've been allowed to engage with the sadness that comes along and yet experience the joy in the midst. Because I was telling Maggie that one of our daughters she's not coming home. Like, she won't come home because of some of the hard stuff we've been living. And I don't blame her.
Yeah.
And I don't hold anything against her. Like, to even say that's laughable. And to say that our intimacy has been impacted at all by our presence not being next to each other constantly, it doesn't. Because somehow in the midst of that, there's absolute joy and room to allow the hurt and respect the hurt, not allow the hurt to make us victims, because we are not victims. Because we see in this story, it is done, all right? But the sadness reverberates.
Yeah.
And it is sad.
Right. So I think that's, yeah.
And you've got to let the sad, it's part of you being a person. And if you're bumping up against something and something makes you cry, like right now, I know I could cry. My well is full. It's really full. Which, you know, mm-hmm. I need to be aware of that so that when the tears come, I'm not sitting there going, what's happening? I know my well is full and I know why. And I don't know how, because let me tell you, I don't, but I know who. And I'm fighting to keep my perspective on the hope that comes, because I'm not sure I would intimately be aware of hope, who is a person, who is the one that is the pillar, because I've always thought a pillar of fire, and then a cloud. I'd forgotten it was a pillar of cloud and fire, for Pete's sake, that somehow, because it's Elohim, goes before and behind you. How does that work? And becomes humanity, so that he's intimately aware of every one of those Egyptians by name, every hair, every tear, every everything. They have great worth, okay? Because he created them. And he said at the end of that, it is very good.
At the same time, I was just thinking about your comment on the Egyptians, is that by them seeing what was being done, I wonder how many of them realize God is real and I, please forgive me.
Yeah.
And
I choose you. Like Rahab, I choose you. I don't know. That's the whole thing. And then it's like, it's a mind bender. And I would do the same thing even with my people next to me. Well, if they're doing this, then they're okay. But if they're making these choices, no, they're not very okay. You know, that kind of thing. And I'm doing the same thing, figuring it out because we can and it makes sense and it's logical. Instead of allowing what could be logical to be true and at the same time allow the Lord to reign and live in the peace and freedom and truth so that I can walk alongside the people and look in the mirror at me. It'd be okay, you know, instead of like.
That's a great point to think of it like that. Like maybe all of them were saved. Maybe that saved their soul.
Thinking about the person on that
cross. Whoever is his, who's the was guy? Saved.
On the right.
Okay. On the right that believed right then. And then he went to heaven. I'm like, it could have been like that, you know? Like,
all we know is it said that they're like, the Lord is fighting for them. Mm-hmm. Which I told one of mine the other day, if you have any concept of saying the Lord is blah, 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 you're thinking about him, and there's no way for you to think about him if you don't, if he isn't revealing yourself to him. So happy day. I'm like, just don't run with some answer in your head. At least run without an answer and ask him. Because if he's on your mind, I'm sorry. Okay, because he puts himself on our minds. We don't do that. Okay, this is a great discussion. Are you kidding? This is the beauty of being together, because because let me tell you something. There is no way you're going to hit a bump in your life and not ask that same question. It's inevitable. So yes, ask. Yes, air it with each other. We can't be afraid of this stuff because it's not our story. Mm-hmm. Our story is this. I love you. I see you. I know you. I gave everything for you because I love you. Okay? It's great stuff to ask because those questions are hard. And the Lord never shies away from those. And he will answer you. And you don't ever be afraid to ask. Don't ever be afraid to ask. Don't ever be afraid to ask, I want to know you more. Because I think we're geared to be afraid of that because I don't want to be Job. I know, but that's me going, well, this is exactly what happens.
Right. Because we don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
And that's like smite me. And so not how God sees you.
Yeah.
Like it's like my kid going, liability. What in the world? That is me going, oh, well, I'll be Job. And the Lord would be like, come to me. I love you. If anything happens in your life that's a hardship, you can rest assured I'm giving you me. I'm taking away from you something you're holding on to that you think gives you life. Mm-hmm. And it's stealing, even though you may not realize it's stealing. And I'm burying that. That will be obliterated. It's been obliterated. You now will be set free, daughter. I love you. And my mercies are tender. Okay.
You're getting ahead of yourself. This is all what we're going to talk about with the Samaritan woman.
Yeah. what a great segue. Let's get to the Samaritan. I don't even know what time it is. People, what's wrong here? Okay, we're going to read the Samaritan woman.
I just celebrate, though, because this is the early church. Right? They gathered and pondered his word. That's what they did.
I hope we always do that.
So whether we make it all the way through, I don't know.
It's just so beautiful. It's like the whole time I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. And let's just at least read the scripture. I knew it was going to be a bear in Exodus. I was like, oh, it's so good. And we've read it. It's a story we know. We might know the Samaritan woman too. We'll set the stage. Samaria. The Samaritans were a group of people that believed God. They considered Jacob one of their heritage. And yet there's some funky stuff that had been added. And in that funky stuff, they were discarded by all the religious people. So much so, talk about canceling. They were canceled. So much so, no one would even walk through their land. All right? And here's Jesus needing to get to Judea. And he isn't going to go around. He's going through. And so this is in John 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
John 4. Not Colossians 4. John 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. Right there, I did a little question mark. I was like, I'd like to know why that. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now, he had gone through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, and sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. So in this context, the when, it was at noon. It was in the middle of the day. The where, it was in Samaria. Beautiful that we have in this picture, Jacob and Joseph. Just FYI, that takes you straight back to the Exodus. Because one thing they had with them that they carried with them were Joseph's bones. Because Joseph had instructed them at his death 400 years prior, carry my bones with you, which were a constant reminder to the nation of Israel, the promise of God, because Joseph was declaring it every day. They carried those bones with them to the promised land, okay? And we get to see it again here in Samaria, all right? Because this is a beautiful story. It's a history story, and it's real people. Okay. Now, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. And again, this setting the stage in the going before, this woman, if there had been other people, she would have been so shamed instantly. So they had already been removed, and it was the middle of the day. He is already speaking to her about what he's going to give her without her having a clue what was coming. The path is prepared for her before she's even entered the picture, okay? Me too, you too. So he says, "Will you give me a drink?" The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with the well. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and his herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Is that where we're ending? No. Then the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Or why are you talking to her? And then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. Am I done? Sorry.
No. No.
Okay. Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the cross for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you've reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town came and believed in him because of the woman's testimony, and he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that the man really is the Savior of the world. Is that where I'm ending? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've kind of got the context. Let's move into, in your notes, like what stood out, the redemption, the rescue in God and Jesus and ourselves. Share what we've been talking about, because I know you've taken notes on this one.
She's thinking rationally.
And literally.
Yeah. And he's explaining truth that she knows not of.
Okay. So how cool is that? Because he's even setting her free from her rational, literal thinking.
And his disciples too, the food.
Okay. And again, the fact that the disciples came back on the scene and they didn't say, why are you talking to her? I mean, what that did for her, because already everything had happened, okay? Because she was already accepted at that point at the greatest level. And we see that having occurred because they didn't say anything.
They didn't shame her. They didn't call her out.
What I just saw for the first time was, you know, she had gone to the well at that time because she didn't want to meet anyone else. You know,
yeah.
She's so ashamed. But then after he spoke with her, she goes back to the people that had shamed her, that she was afraid to talk to, and they come and see.
Oh my
gosh. Evidently, at that point, she had been so set free that she didn't care what they thought.
It's unbelievable. I kept thinking of Rahab in this story because this woman was discarded. She was discarded, canceled. She was filth. She was like, you aren't even allowed to show up at a regular time of day. You are only allowed out at the heat of the day so that no one will have to even see you. Rahab in the desert, shamed, discarded by Abraham at that point and by Sarah. And who meets her? Elroy, the God who sees me. And at the end of that little, and we'll read about her when we get to that name, he said to her, go back. And she did, which said a lot about who saw her, which speaks volumes about the living water and what it did for her in that moment, because she couldn't have gone back. She couldn't have gone back. Think of the years of shame that she had been freed from, liberated, set free, reconciled, accepted.
Really speaks to our identity.
So much. That's why we wanted to do this. It's like, I don't think we believe who we are. First of all, I don't think we know who we are. Like, it's a hard thing to say. If we knew, then da 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 da, because the world's economy is so full of if thens. If you do this, then blah, blah, blah. This is God's economy is because then. because you are loved, you live in wholeness. Dear daughter, go. And she doesn't do it based on her own strength, because if she did, she wouldn't be able to go back. She is drinking from the living water that is already doing what it does, even though his arms haven't been spread on the cross, because he's over time, because we watched him create time, for goodness sake.
She's set up just like the Israelites were set up. He set up her path just like he's setting up our path.
Yep.
For what is to come. Mm-hmm. And then when we fall into that control, we're messing up. We're not going to mess it up, but we're certainly diverting ourselves.
Yes. So we get to see in Exodus the being freed from slavery, as we might define slavery. We get to see here the setting free of the internal bondage.
Yeah, an outwardly circumstance and then inwardly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're set free. What's your inward bondage? It's taken care of. And I love that his food, and this is the bread of life speaking, is to do the will of God. And it, okay, and here comes the problem, because we can hear, well, see, I have to do. And this isn't do so that I accept you, because what do we already see? She's set, all right? It's the do out of a, because you can, because it's no longer your strength. There's not a thinking there going for her. She's like, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. Like, this is bigger than you could imagine, which it is, because we can't appreciate the Samaria Jew thing. It's equal to the Red Sea, okay? And she's like, well, should I go and tell, or, it's the reflection. It's just like Moses coming off the mountain, the goodness of God's reflecting off of him. The goodness of the living water is pouring, is going out of her pores like sweat. Okay. Me too. Please let me receive the beauty and the wholeness that seems like it could never, ever be true in your redemption of every single thing. Everything that appears dead is alive because of what you said.
Kind of makes me think, going back to Abraham, how God made the covenant for him. It's like, we don't really, okay. We just have to be like open hands.
Yeah, he never does it. He never not does that.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's both sides. Uh-huh. Because the outcome is like never the answer. He is the answer. Yeah, Katie.
I was just praying this morning thinking about just the power of that living water, and I keep meditating on that and just personalizing it. It's like, where am I taking in counterfeit water that I think, like, where in my life, and there's a lot of places, but I just, that really struck me that this living water is so powerful and life-changing, and it is the open hands, and there's no doing it. Just receiving.
I love
she
that.
She did drop the jug.
She got that rock.
She stopped her doing.
She's not counterfeit watering anymore.
Drop
but
the
we,
jug.
But we still get to know you. Yes.
Drop the jug.
Drop the jug.
Well, sit down. Yeah.
And it was after an encounter with him. Mm-hmm. And it, when I encounter him and when I spend time with him, it's a lot easier for me to then just go in the fullness and say something. But when I don't spend time with him and the living source,
yeah,
I'm all caught up in my own head and my
own
stuff.
Well, he's asking you to come and drink.
Yeah, and if I will do that, then it's a lot easier for me to turn and say, oh my gosh, guess what? I mean, and to spread that goodness of him.
And you're just thirsty again. I love that. I mean, it goes like, you're just thirsty again.
When you're doing it in your own strength, it's exactly, yeah, because you can never get enough. You're always thirsty. It's never satisfying.
Yeah.
But the living water is satisfying, which is the peace, you know, like
right.
Julie was saying. So
right.
It's all, this is the beauty and it's like the enormity of the story, the mind bendiness of it, and then the very simple consistency of it all. Okay, there's an element of going and doing, not so that you have to do in order to be, but it's like you do because you are. And in the doing, I experience. Okay, and there's the gift of the doing. In my head, the faith by itself is a thought. It becomes something more when I trust enough to go. When I'm stepping out, we've talked about it. We all know the chairs are for sitting, but you don't really experience the chair unless you sit in it, okay? And it's the same in the doing. It's to do because this also is my gift so that you experience me. And we were talking yesterday, Katie and I, just even about mercy. Mercy is the part you can never do on your own because you have no capacity. And so when you engage in love, when you engage in mercy, you inevitably are connected to the one who is those things. And that's beautiful. There's the gift, go and serve, not because you have to do it, because he can. The gift is because you know me when you do. Colossians. Oh, guys, it's 11. Can I read it real quick? Okay, so it's Colossians 3, Colossians 4, Colossians 1. Colossians 1, and I think it's 12, 15. Sorry, I couldn't even. 13 to 22. Okay, you guys, we love you. Thank you for hopping in on Zoom. If anybody has to go, please go. Are y'all okay with me reading it? And we'll just read it as a prayer maybe to depart. I hope this has been a blessing to you. I really hope it's just been a blessing. And please forgive me if I overspeak. I find myself doing that. And it's only because I just love it so much. So I'm starting at 11. Is that right?
13.
For he has rescued us. For he has rescued us. If you want to know more about before, read back before. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Okay, sorry, I have to point out this verb tense. Has rescued is the verb tense that is yesterday, today, and forever. It's okay. Anytime you see has in front of a past tense, lean into it and know that it's yesterday, it's today, and it's forever. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And then this beautiful, and brought, one and done, and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him are all things, and they hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things. Are you reconciled? Yes. Did you do it? Do you have to do it? All things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood. His blood cries out for you this minute, this second. His blood is crying out for you on the throne and taking all, everything. His justice is taken care of. It's shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel, which is what you were talking about, Tracy. You know, it's like when we get a blip and we're like, oh, I'm distracted. I'm not holding on to the hope anymore. We go back to the things that hurt us. But we don't have to, because we can stay, help us stay focused in these things. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And we thank you, Father. Oh my gosh, that in that you have made us blameless, above reproach, reconciled. We get to experience your peace. We are delivered. You have made us qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. And you strengthen us. you strengthen us. And so we are praying for that and asking for that. Thank you for that. Thank you that you've called us redeemed to help us to live in it. Help us to live in the righteous clothes in which you've clothed us. And in that righteousness, oh my gosh, may we be like the woman at the well with our jug dropped, and that we never ever, or maybe just help us to less and less drink from counterfeit water. I love that. Let us always be drinking the living water. We just thank you that you have it pulsating through our veins. Help us to just live in it. Help us to not have the dark ways of this world over inform us in any way, shape, or form. For we are your children. Ask that you'll help each one of us grow in knowledge of what that means. And we know in order to be able to do that, we have to grow in knowledge of who you are. And we just can't thank you enough for sharing yourself with us. And may we go forth in that. May we be your hands and feet today for your glory, for your name's sake, and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.